蓝天之下，让梦想起航；
绿洲之中，让心灵放松。欢迎来到
蓝天绿洲 Heaven Today。
在苦难当中，我们最常问的两个问题，一个是为什么，一个是上帝你在哪儿。上帝似乎隐藏了，似乎沉默了。你现在收听到的是良友电台的双语节目蓝天绿洲 Haven Today， 我是乐欣，和我一起主持的是 Charles Morris。
Welcome to Haven Today and I'm Charles Morris, sharing the great story that's all about Jesus. We're calling our series this week Psalms for the Persecuted Church.Today you'll hear voices of others, but we'll also be talking about God speaking to those who are hurting and persecuted through the Psalms. Now, when you're having a good time, going to a ball game, going to the zoo, whatever, you don't typically think of needing a psalm. But when trouble strikes your life, as it does every day in the persecuted church, the Psalms take on new meaning, like Psalm 116 that we will explore in the next few minutes.But before that, there's a story from Sudan that you need to hear.
I suffered for Christ, and my suffering has led me to learn so many things.
Like many other Christians in Sudan, Ishmael is forced to protect his identity. Speaking openly about his faith could result in death.
In this country, it's very difficult to be a Christian.When I was persecuted, I was in prison. There was no lawyer, there was no friend. There was nobody. I have to ask the difficult questions. God, where are you? Why is this happening? I faced a lot of torture, suffering. Every moment they torture me,Hate grow in my heart. And because I am angry, it fuels the anger in the hearts of these officers to even torture me more. Days become longer, nights become longer. But as days passed and I was beaten up, I was bleeding, I was on the floor, I said, God, ifI have to suffer for you. I just don't want to die with hate. To die hating is just, it's worthless. I want to be free. I decided to pray to God to give me a miracle of love. And I don't have to live in two prisons. Prison physically and in prison spiritually. He just affirmed to me that I am with you.I'm suffering with you too in prison. And with that, God opened his heart to me. I decided to choose the Jesus way, just to love them even when they don't deserve it. I began to speak to everyone in the prison. They beat me more and they torture me more. When the evilattacked me, they faced the love of God. And when they go through the love of God, the power of the evil cools down. The love of God is powerful. When we are persecuted, we still have to love those who persecute us. Because it is not about us, it is about Jesus Christ.Many of us might say, we don't have the energy, we don't have the strength to love these people. But I would say, just like God did it for me, you can ask him to give you the strength, to give us the miracle to love them. God has given me another chance. And this chance is to serve him and to serve him with love. tell the whole world about Jesus. And I have no regret about it.
An unnamed brother in Christ sharing his story and prepared by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association here on this Haven Today as we open with Robbie C. from his Psalms album and Psalm 116 that I want to minister to us.
From my dying, from my shame, you heard my groaning, you called my name. From the darkness, from the grave, oh, I cried out to you and you came to save me.
Haven Today, and I'm Charles Morris, coming to you from Washington and the largest conference ever held on the persecuted church. Now, I shared with you already a story from an unnamed member of the persecuted church. But before we look deeper at Psalm 116, I want you to hear one more story, a story from Ukraine, part of the former Soviet Union. I want you to hear, with interpretation, part of the story of the life of a man named Sergei Koziak.
I used to be a pastor of Christian church in the city of Donetsk in east of Ukraine. And in 2014, the unstable situation came to our city. People came from different regions of Russia and local people as well. They started public movements that brought division into Ukraine. So me and several other Christians started prayer ministry in the center of Donetsk for peace. I was there every day, and there were groups of people coming to pray at the same time each day from 50 up to 400 people. Those who were in authority at that time partially were local people, partially were people from KGB, from Russia. They were calling themselves Orthodox Army, and they attacked our prayer ministry several times. On several occasions, they destroyed our prayer tent that we would set for the prayer ministry and throw things away and threaten us to come and kill us. From our prayer marathon, we called it, we had 15 people who were arrested by those groups. One of our people, he was sentenced for a year and 4 months to be in prison. Now, by the time when this term is almost over, they gave him another year and 4 months because he was part of this prayer ministry.
Mm-hmm.
4 people were threatened to be killed, but they kept them alive anyway. And one person was killed. So, and I, as an organizer of this prayer ministry, I was arrested. So when they were interrogating me, they were torturing me, beating me. They were beating me with anything that they could put in their hand, with sticks, with rubber sticks. They took me off of all of my clothing. They put a rope around my neck. They put my hands behind my back and tightened them up with yellow and blue ribbons that represent the colors of Ukrainian flag. And they would hang me up on this rope. When they were beating me, I was determined in my heart that I will not ask for forgiveness for being a Ukrainian. I just was praying for them. When they were beating me, I would tell them things about Christ and witnessing them about Christ. And because of that, they considered me to be a certain strange guy, like out of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So they invited a specialist, so-called, about religions to consider my case. The guy interrogated me, and after this interrogation, they quit beating me. I already was covered with blood. I didn't understand much what was happening around me. At that time, I realized they probably will keep me alive. And then the head of their security service of this new so-called republic came to me, and they took the names for their governmental services, copying them from Soviet Union organizations. So they had a KGB of this new republic. So the head of this KGB service came to visit me. And this person happened to be a former church member from another city in Dnipropetrovsk, very similar to the church that I was pastoring. And he began to ask forgiveness from me. At that time, I realized he was asking forgiveness not from me, actually, but from God.
His name is Serhii Kosiak, and he's a member of the persecuted church. He's from Ukraine. There's no book quite like the Psalms for times of trouble. And of course, in the Psalms, there are beautiful pictures pointing to Jesus, painted for us in poetry, often written by persecuted believers. Psalm 116 is just such a psalm, but it's a psalm that looks back on a time of great distress from the vantage point of one who had been greatly delivered out of the valley. We don't know exactly what valley it was, but it was a time when life felt like death. Verses 3 and 4, the cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave overcame me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And then he praises the Lord in this psalm because the Lord heard his cry for help. Verse 6, when I was brought low, he saved me. In Screwtape Letters, a classic work by C.S. Lewis, we read about something Screwtape calls the trough. The whole book is set up as a fictional conversation between two devils. There was the older seasoned devil, Uncle Screwtape, and his nephew, who's just getting into the trade of evil. His name is Wormwood. Screwtape tells Wormwood about the trough. He says that people have peak times in every area of their life and then low times. And it's in the low times, what he calls the trough, or what Psalm 116 calls times of distress. It's times like that when Wormwood should really tempt people hard. because times of distress are designed for faith to grow strong. The wily old devil Screwtape says, "Our cause is never more in danger than when a human looks round upon a universe from which every trace of God seems to have vanished and asks why he's been forsaken and still obeys." In a word, that's what we call faith. That's the faith of the psalm writer in Psalm 116, verse 11. "I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted." And it's the faith that I've had the joy of seeing in the lives of persecuted Christians these past few days. I've spoken with men and women for whom life seemed like death. The cords of death that the psalmist speaks of is the imagery of a hunter or a trapper stretching out a cord of the ground to snare unsuspecting prey. Do we stop and think about our brothers and sisters in the Lord who in a very real sense feel like hunted prey because they actually are being hunted down and pursued and mistreated because of their faith in Christ? Yet even still, they seek to please the Lord. They want to remain faithful. This needs to be a lesson as well as an encouragement to us. You don't have to be a persecuted Christian to feel like you're in the trough, in the valley of the shadow of death. Maybe you feel hunted, barely able to take one step ahead of the diagnosis of financial ruin or marital disaster. Can you say in the midst of that, with a heart of faith, "Lord, save me"? Can you say, "I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted"? Well, I've got to tell you, there's hope for us all, even when we are of little faith. I want you to hear how the psalmist describes God in verse 5. "The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion." God's grace sustains us, even when our faith is weak. God's righteousness reminds us that even when evil seems to gain the upper hand, he is a God of justice, and he's full of compassion. Jesus, our Savior, when he hung on the cross, looked around on a world from which every trace of God seemed to have vanished. He cried out in distress, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Yet he still obeyed. He willingly suffered for our sins in our place. He bore the cup of God's wrath so that we could say with the psalm writer, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation. I will call on the name of the Lord."
A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he, Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same. And he must win the battle.
This is Haven Today, and that, of course, is a hymn written by Martin Luther. He understood persecution 500 years ago. Chris Rice and a Mighty Fortress.
在逼迫和患难中，正是我们的信心经受了极大考验的时刻。可能前一秒，我们还在向神极力的呼求，大声的呼喊， 可是下一分钟呢，信心马上就遭受崩溃瓦解了，深深的怀疑上帝是否真实的存在呢？诗篇里面有不少的诗句让我们看到了诗人的反应就是这样子的，而我们又何尝不是呢？下面乐心想要和你分享的是杨飞利在《无语问上帝》这本书当中写到约伯的信心的时候呢，提到了一个让我觉得很新奇，也是觉得一个打开了我思路的观点。在《上帝沉默吗》这一章里面呢，杨飞利就说到，约伯这个信心的榜样道尽了信心的基本条例。这个条例就是，上帝所看重的信心是在事情被蒙蔽、迷雾冲天、上帝完全沉默的时候所达到的最高境界。其实我们都知道，约伯受苦的原因不是别的，只是撒旦和上帝他们之间有一场赌注。当然最后的结局是撒旦输了，上帝赢了，约伯并没有犯什么罪。可问题就是在于说，在痛苦当中的约伯他并不知情啊。在约伯身上的赌注最重要的一点就是让约伯蒙在鼓里。我们可以想象一下，如果上帝对约伯说话，鼓励他要忍耐下去，要做一个有信心的勇士，估计约伯一定能够欣然地受苦了。然而撒旦的要求是什么呢？不就是在没有外来的帮助和解释之下，看一看约伯的信心是不是能够承受得住。可怜的约伯就这样子成为了实验品，所以在约伯的周围弥漫着浓雾。当我们读约伯的故事的时候，也许会对赌注这个举动呢不太明白，但是至少到了最后还会喘口气，因为上帝终于赢了。我们认为这一下他总可以好好的跟约伯沟通一下，说个明白了，让约伯知道当时的那个是来自撒旦的挑战。可是如果你好好的把圣经看完，就会发现根本不是这么回事。上帝没有向约伯还原现场，让约伯知道当时天上发生了怎样的一番较量。实际上呢，在乐心看来，上帝啊是给约伯上了一堂天文地理外加生物课程，让约伯看到了人是如何的有限，还有神是怎么的无限。你想知道苦难的原因吗？如果你先能够好好给我解释下太阳东升西落的话。下面的这段话呢是乐心最喜欢的，乐心现在就念给你听。今天的凭信心的宣教士所写的激励人心的神迹故事，就是出于这种种子般的信心，可以移山倒海，可以喂饱全孤儿院的孩子等等。圣经当中有许多这类激励人心的故事，但是约伯还有希伯来书第十一章这些圣者的信心却是另外一种很不一样的信心。这是我在写这本《无语问上帝》的时候特别要圈点出来的。在没有神迹出现、祷告不被应许、浓雾蒙蔽了上帝光怀的时候，如果只是孩子般的信心，那么这样的信心就不能够持续长久。而遇到这种时刻呢，我们需要的是更大的信心。我把这个更大的信心叫做忠贞，意思是说不计代价的持守。我访问过一个年轻的护士小姐，她对上帝失望的理由呢，就是被这两种信心搞糊涂了。这个护士从小在基督教家庭长大，很少会去怀疑上帝，甚至在大学的时候呢，还是信心坚定。在他的房间里面挂了一幅耶稣手中抱着小孩子的画像，下面有一首诗写着，单单信靠上帝，你就不会觉得有重担，遇到困难的时候，沙滩上只有一行脚印，因为耶稣抱着你走过。 这首诗呢，就写明清楚了孩子般的信心是什么样子。等到他24岁的时候，被分派到了癌症病房工作。当他遇到各式癌症病例的时候，有些病患像孩子般的求上帝医治，使他们能够舒服一点，但是很多最后都是悲惨的去世了。每天晚上回到家里，面对那幅画以及那首诗，再想想医院里的一些悲伤的故事，这个护士小姐觉得非常的讶然。这种情景就仿佛是把两篇诗篇倒回来读，首先读诗篇第23篇，耶和华是我的牧者，我必不至缺乏，我也不怕遭害，我一生一世必有恩惠慈爱随着我。然后呢，再翻回诗篇的第22篇，我的上帝，我的上帝，为什么离弃我？为什么远离不救我？我白日呼求你不应允，我的骨头我都能数过，他们瞪着眼看我。诗篇第23篇就是孩子般信心的模式，而诗篇22篇呢，就是忠贞般的信心。这是一种较为深刻、较为玄妙的信心，跟上帝打交道，跟上帝建立关系，需要我们有这两种信心。有时我们觉得上帝很亲近，祷告得到应许了，上帝非常的照顾我们，关爱我们。但有时呢，我们也要经历迷雾的时间，上帝仿佛是沉默无言了，没有一件事情按照公式来发生，圣经的应许呢，又好像都错了一样。这个时候，忠贞的信心就是要学着信靠主，相信在迷雾之外，无论看起来环境如何的不堪，上帝却依旧掌权，上帝并没有撇弃我们。令人觉得很矛盾的地方就在于，越是这种迷惑的困境，就越是能够培养出信心，增进我们与上帝之间亲密的关系，就像是岩缝里面会长出绿叶一般，人类也能够从挣扎奋斗中成长起来。回头来看今天节目中嘉宾的分享，他们在逼迫当中坚守信仰，我想这个就是杨飞利所说的，他们对神有忠贞般的信心。那是真的是很喜欢这个词，忠贞般的信心。也许在我们的属灵生命当中会经历一些时刻，就是像杨飞利说到的，在迷雾当中上帝似乎沉默了，但是这个时候就是来操练和培育我们忠贞般的信心。不知道你有没有经历过这样的时刻呢？这个就是今天蓝天绿洲的全部节目内容了，非常谢谢你的收听，也非常期待在下期的同一时间你能够继续的守候在良友电台的 Haven Today 蓝天绿洲。那是 Charles 在下期的同一时间与你不见不散，愿神祝福你，拜拜。
Did we in our own strength confide? Our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He, Lord Sabaoth, His name. From age to age the same.